in his life that God had to line up. Job had pride issues. If you don't believe me, I'll show you where it's at. But God, everything that happened in his life, God made him come out super extra victorious in the end. And that's where God wants you to be, amen? If you've suffered, if you've gone through great loss in your life, if you're going through times where you feel like, oh, I don't know why that person stopped talking to me and you're hurt. If you're going through stuff with your family, if you're going through stuff at work, and you don't understand why it's happening and you're praying. Sometimes when I was a young kid, I used to ask myself, I used to pray and pray and pray, God, bless my family, bless my parents. I saw my parents suffer in the church when I was growing up because of people, Christian people. People will talk about them. People will say, oh, pastors only want money. All they want is money. All they want is money. All they want is money. That's all people always talk about. Oh, the pastors always want money. The fact that they didn't know that me and my mom went shopping downtown and bought 20 ties for 10 bucks. And I look good because I spent $10. And my mom knew how to match, mix and match shirts. Amen? See, but now look at where I think of where I'm at now. I think of where they're at now. Man, God has brought us to through the wilderness, yet he's brought us into a promised land. And that's where God wants you to be too. It's only seasonal, guys. It's only seasonal. Everybody say it's only seasonal. We're going to go to the book of John. Everybody's so quiet today. Oh, good. Amen. Go to John chapter 15. That's awesome. If you're there, John chapter 15, say amen. And if you're not there, say wait for me. We used to say, open your Bibles to the book of Genesis. And if you're having a hard time finding it, then you should read your Bible more often. That's our pastor used to say that. Amen. I only have one point tonight. You can write it down. Life will happen. Life will happen. Stuff's going to happen. Everybody say stuff's going to happen. And I just wrote, trials will come, but it's seasonal. Don't focus on the problem. Focus on the purpose. Don't focus on the obstacle. Focus on the outcome. God the Father did not focus on his son's death. He focused on his resurrection. Always think of the outcome. See, it's easy to get caught up in the moment and like have like a nervous breakdown and freak out and just throw in the towel and say, hey, I'm done going to church. Because it seems like when I go to church, everything goes bad. Have you ever felt like that? Man, my friend's not going to church and he gets blessed. He has the best job. Why does that happen? Hey, it's only seasonal. It's only seasonal, amen? The Bible says, I am the true vine. This is Jesus speaking. And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch, everybody say every branch. Say, I'm the branch. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Now check this out. Every branch that does bear fruit, he what? He prunes. The Bible says that God, the Father, he chastens those who he loves. A father hits those who he loves. So if you're going through some kind of pruning or pruning, you guys know what pruning is, right? Clipping. Some cutting off. If there's an area in your life that's being cut right now, if you feel like, man, people don't talk to me because I'm a Christian and I'm losing all these friends and I'm losing all these promotions because I love God, think that as a blessing. Think that you're in the vine. You're attached to Jesus. That's why it's happening. Amen? It says that he prunes. Those who bear fruit, he prunes. Why? That it may bear more fruit. See, every tree, does a tree give fruit all year round? No. Every year, some, you know, I for a long time I felt, man, God is pruning me this year. And it would hurt because things were happening in my life where I couldn't understand. But I relied on God and I said, okay, it's going to stop. And then the next year or 2 years after, I would go through that same cutting again. And I'd be like, why is this happening? Obviously, because you're bearing fruit. If you're doing the job, if you're doing the work of God, there's going to be some pruning. Amen. There's going to be some pruning that goes on. And the Bible continues to say, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Now check it out. It says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and anyone does not abide in me. Oh, I'm sorry. I got lost. He who abides in me and I in him bears what? Much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Now check this out. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Now, this is where I want you guys to go. I want you guys to go to verse 16. And this is where I want you guys to really emphasize on this. You did not choose me. Everybody say, God. We didn't choose God. Check it out. You did not choose me, but I chose you. God chose you guys. That's a trip. See, sometimes we always think like we're in control. We chose God. No, God chose you. Before you knew it, God already knew, man, they're going to come and follow me because I chose them. Amen? I always laugh at this, but I remember when I met Chanel, I came into this birthday party, and I saw her, and I thought she was, like, the hottest girl ever. And I got her number, and I went home, and I'm thinking, like, man, I'm the man. I got that girl's number. But honestly, like, she told me after, man, I saw you when you first came in. I knew that I was going to give you my number. And I was like, this whole time, like, I'm thinking, she chose me. See, sometimes we have this notion, like, we're in charge. We're in charge. We're the ones that choose. Uh-uh. Chanel that day, she was like, I got this fool right here. Watch him. Watch him fall into my little trap right now. She chose me. I know that's like a super dumb example to compare us and God, but that's how we think sometimes. We think that we choose God, but God chose us. God knew you before you were born. God knew that you were going to be sitting here right now. Amen? And it says, watch, it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should what? There's going to be a day, people, there's going to be a day where that cutting is going to stop. There's going to be a day where your fruit is going to remain. Whatever God has put into your in your life, all the blessings that God has given you, hey, maybe that day is when we get to heaven. I'm cool with that. Our fruit is going to remain. It's not always going to be up and down, up and down, up and down. There's going to be a day where you're going to be so strong in the Lord. When the enemy comes, you're going to be able to rebuke him. Get out of here, Satan. When he tries to come and take away your peace, you're not going to be wavered. You're going to be tossed to and fro by the cares of this world because you're going to be so strong. But the important thing is that you abide in God. You have to be in his word daily. You have to be praying daily. You have to be fasting. You have to be pressing in. So when the drama comes, when all the crap comes, and you're like, what am I going to do? Instead of freaking out, it says that Jesus, he was in a boat. He was sleeping. And there was a crazy storm. And everybody's freaking out because they're seeing these waves. They're seeing the sound. They're hearing the sound of waves crashing into their boat. And the boat is just like moving around, getting tossed around. And they go down to where he was sleeping. They're like, Jesus! We're going to die. I could just imagine Jesus like upset that they woke him up from his sleep. And he comes up and he says, shh, peace be still. And the waves stop. The storm just stops. The more that we abide in Jesus, the more that we abide in his word, the more that we abide in his presence, then the more authority that will start to come on your life, where you'll be able to just speak a word and whoosh. I was at Disneyland the other day with Andy, and I saw a little boy in a wheelchair, and I was disobedient to the Holy Spirit, and I had to ask the Holy Spirit for forgiveness, but I was like, man, what if I just went up to this kid and said, hey, stand up and start walking right now? And I started tripping. I'm like, dude, that's what the disciples did. They weren't scared. There was fear of me going up and praying for that kid. And I felt like the Holy Spirit was telling me, like, go and pray for the kid. Go and pray for the kid. And I didn't do it. And I was like, I can't be doing that no more. I can't be grieving the Holy Spirit like that. I asked God to use me, and he's telling me when to do something, and I'm saying, no, I'm not right now. This is Disneyland. The people are going to freak out. I missed it on that one. I missed it on that one. I'm telling you today, God wants to use you guys. God has plans for you guys. But there's certain areas in your life that he has to prune, that he has to cut off. If you're asking God to use you, be ready for that. If you're asking God to use you, be ready for some pruning. If you're asking God to use you, be ready for some pruning, I said. It shouldn't be a scary thing, because guess what? When you come out of that, man, you're going to be so refined. You're going to be so much better than you were before. And guess what? You're going to say, God, use me. I want you to use me more. And there's going to be more pruning that comes to your life. Amen? And then God will start to show you why he did certain things. He's going to start to share his secrets with you. I want to share this scripture, and I'm going to read it in a couple different versions, because it's such a powerful scripture. And it's in Psalms chapter 25, verse 14. I'm going to read it in the New Kings first. The Bible says, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. I'm going to read it in a different version for you guys. This is a message. It says, God's friendship is for God worshipers. They are the ones he confides in. Man, God wants to tell us his secrets. God wants to tell us why he does certain things. Amen? And look at the Amplified. Just read this with me real quick. The secret of the Lord have they who fear him, and he will show them his covenant and reveal them its meaning. God, the more you're attached to this vine that we're talking about here in John 15, the more you're attached to this vine, man, God will start to show you crazy, crazy things. He'll start to show you why he cut off certain people from your life. He'll start to show you why you went through certain things in your life as a kid. There's things that I can't give you an answer to. All I could tell you is God is good. And if you start pressing into God, he'll start to reveal those things to you. I promise you. There's things that I know now that when I was a young kid, I was so pissed off at people. I'm telling you, I could be happy and sing songs and praise. See, you could come to church, praise, sing, dance, but inside you could still have that void of like, why did this happen? Why is this happening? You can't have that peace that surpasses all understanding because you're still questioning God. You can't question God. God is a good God. I was talking to Chanel's uncle that came from Alaska, and he tells me, why did my mom die when she was 45 years old? Why did my mom have to die when she was 45? And I told him, listen, I don't know why your mom died. I didn't know your mom. I said, but what I'm telling you is, are you going to let that hinder your relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you going to hold that against God, who is a good God? I said, you have to forgive yourself. You have to forgive people that have hurt you, but you have to give your life away to Jesus because he's going to fill that void in your heart. And he started to cry. He started to cry. He started to cry. He started to cry. He started to weep. This is an old man that I look up to. This man that likes to shoot stuff down and goes fishing. He caught like this huge, like 200-pound fish, and he says, oh, I took out my 38 and I shot because if I let him in my boat, he's going to destroy my boat. I was like, damn, crazy guy. He shot the fish before he came on his boat. Because I guess fishes are so huge up there that if you bring them onto your boat, they'll like flop around and destroy your boat. They found this guy dead. Like, I guess a fish cut him with like his fin or something. A fin, right? It's called a fin. I got to ask Andy. She likes Finding Nemo. But the fish cut his artery. And then he couldn't get back in, so he tied himself like on. He put a rope around his waist because he knew he was gonna collapse and fall off the boat. And they found him like he bled out, and the fish got away. That's crazy, huh? Like it's. I'm not laughing at him. It's just like crazy. Like, man, fishes have a mind of their own. If you don't believe me, watch Finding Nemo. But I'm telling you guys, today's message is not a complicated one. It's a very, very simple one. And that's something that God's been speaking to me, like, abide in me more. Abide in me more. There is going to be some cutting. There is going to be some pruning. But there's going to be a time where you're gonna birth a bunch of fruit. And the Bible says it's going to remain. It says that your fruit should remain. And that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love me, that you love one another. I don't know who this message was for. I know God spoke to me when he was speaking to me. But don't ask God questions. Just obey him. When you start questioning God, you start allowing Satan to come and overtake this little guy right here, your mind. And then your peace starts. Instead of your peace being intact, your peace will just start to freak out. And you come to church, and instead of focusing on what the pastor's saying, you're like, oh, the devil, oh, my peace. Stand up and sit somewhere else. Tell him, man, not in my house. You have to, if your parents aren't serving the Lord, you have to be the one that stands between your household and God and pray for your family. Get a broom sometimes and just sweep the devil out of your house. Say, hey, get out of here. Get out of here, devil. Seriously, don't, like, people have, like I said, it's not just Chanel's uncle, but I have family that they just, like, they're the victims all the time. They're bitter and say, why did this have to happen to me? Why does everybody hate me? Why do I have to suffer? If that's you, if you think like that, man, stop feeling so much pity for yourself. God loves you. And I'm not trying to be a jerk to you. I'm trying to be sensitive to you, but I'm being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I had to let go of a lot of things that I went through. I could wake up every single day and cry about the same thing and be stuck on stupid forever. If not, read Jacob. Jacob was a deceiver. He was a traitor. God changed his name to Israel. But if you read the Bible, there's like... They refer him as to Israel and Jacob until the day that he dies. There's this, like, they call him Jacob sometimes, and it's like this constant struggle inside of him. He's Israel, he identifies with God, but then he identifies with Jacob sometimes. Don't identify yourself with the old man. Don't identify yourself with the old woman. Identify yourself with the true vine dresser, which is God. Amen? God wants to deliver you from all that. God wants to cut all that stuff off of you because he wants to use you. It says Jeremiah went and sat and saw he went to go sit in front of like a potter's house, and there was the potter was working on some clay, And then he created this beautiful masterpiece. And it said it looked nice, but then he broke it and then it started all over again. God wants to do that with our lives. He wants to break you to make you something better. He wants to refine you. He wants to perfect you. He wants to use you. That's why. Amen. God wants to pour brand new wine into new wineskins. Amen. He wants to get rid of all the old stuff so he could pour some good, fresh stuff. Would you? I remember one message, and I'm done with this. Paul brought like these huge, I don't know what they were. Just these huge plastic containers. Remember that? You don't remember? And then like it was like a clean water, and then like you put like soda and some stuff on one. Remember that? Huh? The what? Maybe. Yeah, put enough word in and that'll wash you up. Amen? Amen? Everybody lift up your Bibles. And say, the word will wash me. The word will take away all my bitterness. The word will deliver me. You guys believe that?
Yeah.
Hey, this book right here will deliver you. You have all the answers in this book. You just open it and read it.
Yeah.
You guys can put them down. I'm giving you guys some, I'm hooking you guys up with some good info right now. It's like Elisha tells that one guy, what was his name? Naaman. Hey, go wash yourself 7 times in that Jordan River. And he was upset. Like, man, how come, you know, why can't I go somewhere nicer? And every time, it says every time he dipped himself, the 7th time he came out, he was clean as a baby's bottom. That's what the word does to you. The more you dip yourself into the word, you'll come out cleaner every single time. You'll come out with less stuff. Amen? Amen? Amen. You guys learned something today? All right, close your eyes real quick. If you're going through some pruning in your life right now, some cutting off, it's good. It's good. I'm happy for you. Yeah, it might hurt a little bit, but it's good. I mean, but there's some people here who really need to let go of some stuff. That pity that I was talking about, like I said, I'm not trying to be not sensitive to your circumstance because I don't know. You could have the craziest story of your life. I'm not trying to belittle that. But I am trying to tell you that we serve a God who's good. We serve a God who is still in the miracle business. We have a God who's still into delivering people. We have a God who's still willing to heal your wounds. We have a God who loves us so much that he sent his only son to die for you and me, to give us a new start. Let's associate with him. If we love God and we want to obey his commands or his commandments, the Bible says that, remember, you're going to bear fruit. There's going to be some pruning, but there's going to be a day that your fruit is going to remain. If there's something that you want to just come and get rid of and leave here at the altar is open for you right now. It could be that you were neglected as a child by your parents. It could be that you suffered great loss. It could be that whatever your circumstance is, you want to leave it here tonight. And when you leave it here tonight, you don't just pray, leave it here momentarily, and then you get up and then you pick it up and put it back in your pocket. No, you leave it here. God is here right now to burn all that stuff off. This is crazy, man. I just saw this picture of The Bible says that whatever does not produce fruit is going to be cut away and thrown in the fire. There's areas in your life that are not producing any type of spiritual fruit in your spirit. And God wants to cut those things off and throw them in the fire tonight. I see it so clearly right now. There's areas in your life that God is saying, man, this is not producing any type of spiritual fruit in your life. And that stuff needs to be cut off and burnt tonight. And the fruit that is there producing good things is going to continue to stay in your life because it's good. It's edifying you. But there's things that are not edifying your life right now. Same thing with some people in your life. I remember when I was young, I saw this vision when I was praying, and I saw a big auditorium, and I saw a bunch of my friends sitting in the auditorium. It was a huge auditorium, just people that I knew. And then people started they started to get up, and they started to walk out of the auditorium, and I was like, God, what is happening? He's like, these people that are walking out on you are the people that I'm going to cut away from your life. And there was only a few people remaining, including my parents, including my pastors. So if that's you tonight, I'm going to stop talking. We're going to pray for you. Shayla's going to help me. Paul's going to help me. And we're going to pray for you. But if there's areas in your life where you feel like, man, I want this cut off right now, and I want to throw it in the fire to burn because it's not edifying my life, it's not helping my life, it's not bringing any type of blessings to my life. All it's doing, it's bringing sadness, depression, stress, anger, hatred. I want you to be brave tonight and just stand up and come to the front if that's you. And if you feel like you're good, just sit in the back, stand up, lift up your hands and start interceding. And start to intercede. Yes, Lord, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit speaking to us tonight. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. I thank you, Jesus. Now, if you came up to the front, I just want you to start praying and start giving it up to God, saying, God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word. Just start saying thank you. Just start saying, thank you, God. I give this up to you right now. Anybody else? We're going to start praying for people right now. Like I said, if you're in the back sitting down, I want you to stand up, lift up your hands, and just start praying. Just start praying. Everybody stand up and start praying. Just extend your hands forward and just start praying. But I feel like there's more people that are missing up here. God wants to cut. Don't take it back home. Don't take it back home and involve it in your daily lifestyle. Get rid of it today. God is here today. I'm not going to ask you what it is. It's none of my business. This is between you and God.
I have a